Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, upgrading windows to help curb appeal and keep homes efficient. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, May 8th. I'm Jonathan Aul. Former St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says the progressive movement and the Democratic Party both need to have a reckoning when it comes to the role of Black women.
They want our votes, but they don't want our leadership. We need to have a serious conversation and a hard conversation as to why.
You'll hear more from an exit interview with Jones later on The Gateway. The number of vacant properties in the city of St. Louis is slowly decreasing. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley has more from an early look at a new report by the Vacancy Strategy Initiative.
Researchers found that nearly 90% of properties that are vacant today were also vacant in 2018, but the number of vacant properties has decreased by 4% since then. Peter Hoffman is president of the St. Louis Vacancy Collaborative.
The expense of vacancy, the cost borne by taxpayers for things like board ups and demolition and grass cutting, these are all really eye-popping figures. Over the last 7 years, there has been a reduction in vacancy overall, so that's encouraging.
The final report will be released this summer. It's part of a two-year collaboration between the city's Community Development Administration and the Vacancy Collaborative. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri legislature passed a wide-reaching tax bill yesterday that includes ending the capital gains tax. The House passed the legislation 102-41. Because the House agreed to the Senate amendments attached to the bill, the legislation now goes to Governor Mike Kehoe. Republican Representative George Cruza said this is one of the best things they could do for Missouri.
It will encourage companies to invest in Missouri. And it will also encourage reinvestment of existing companies to grow and bring high-paying jobs to Missouri.
Through the legislation, Missourians would be able to deduct 100% of income reported on their federal returns as a capital gain from the state income taxes on an individual level. Democrats argued this would only help the wealthiest Missourians. Ferguson officials say they may be 3 to 5 years away from being released from a federal reform agreement that followed Michael Brown's killing. The 2016 consent decree between Ferguson and the U.S. Department of Justice outlined various reforms of the city's police department, municipal ordinances, and court system. Police Chief Troy Doyle says he's confident his department won't backslide after the decree is complete.
I think the policies and procedures that we have put in place has set us on a path that there's no way that this city can go back.
Ferguson officials say the decree is 45% to 60% complete, but they've been picking up the pace in the last year and have an exit strategy. If the city meets its requirements, a federal judge and DOJ will continue monitoring Ferguson for another 2 years to ensure it sustains compliance. The head of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security made a stop in Illinois' capital yesterday. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Secretary Kristi Noem stood near the home of a Springfield resident who's suspected of being killed by a man who lacked legal status. Flanked by Republican lawmakers, she blasted Governor J.B. Pritzker's sanctuary policies, namely the one that limits local police cooperation with federal immigration authorities on deportation cases.
Governors like J.B. Pritzker don't care if gangbangers, if murderers, rapists, and pedophiles roam free in his state. If they are here illegally, he's going to protect them.
Noem was met with dozens of protesters. In a statement, Pritzker called Noem's visit a publicity stunt that is not making communities safer. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The Muni has won a Tony. Producers of the annual theater awards announced yesterday that the theater in Forest Park will win the 2025 Regional Theater Tony Award. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
The award puts the Muni in a select club. The Tonys are primarily for this season's Broadway productions, but there is an annual distinction for one regional theater that's shown sustained onstage excellence and contributed to the national growth of theater. The Muni has performed in Forest Park since 1919, in a space that theater lovers donated to the city. Mike Isaacson is the Muni's artistic director and executive producer.
This theater was created by this city, by this community. It's a civic idea. So we're celebrating that along with excellence.
Leaders of the Muni will accept the honor at the Tony Awards ceremony in New York next month. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
When Tashara Jones left office in April after one term as mayor, it was the first time she had not held an elected position in local politics in 20 years. Before getting to Room 200, she was a Democratic committeewoman, state representative, and the city's treasurer. She told St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman and Jason Rosenbaum that a return to civilian life has been liberating.
It's been interesting not having to have an opinion on everything that happens on either level, the state, local, or national level. Now I can just pay attention if I want to or tune it all out if I want to. I do miss not driving, but I also miss the people I worked with the most and seeing them every day and interacting with them every day, finding out about what's going on with their home lives.
You were able to serve as mayor for 4 years, and I'm wondering what you think the biggest thing was that there just wasn't enough time to do in those 4 years.
The biggest thing that we weren't able to do in those 4 years was the Monarch facility on MLK. That was a project that was really, really passionate about because I saw the potential for that project to really change the landscape of Martin Luther King Drive and really change the landscape of the neighborhoods that surrounded that facility. Our Workforce Development Agency was going there, Office of Violence Prevention, Economic Empowerment Center, as well as LRA and some companies that will be co-located, some companies we were able to recruit to actually start their businesses there.
Do you know, have you heard about what the fate of the Monarch may be?
I have not heard because, as I talked about earlier, I'm just tuning a lot of things out at the moment.
What did you remember as sort of your biggest or proudest moment as you were serving as mayor of the city?
Oh, there are too many to name, but I would say the thing that I am most proud of is our progress on public safety because it is an all-hands-on-deck strategy and how we were able to not only make progress there, but expand that progress to the rest of the region through the Save Lives Now initiative. And also being able to bring Chief Tracy here as the first outside chief in our entire city's history and see the progress that he has made with the police department to really transform that department and make it better than it already was.
Do you think that you were given enough credit for the things you were able to accomplish as mayor from the residents?
Absolutely not. But I did take a lot of the blame for the things that weren't my problem. and that's inherent within the job, right? There are people who don't really understand and still don't understand what the mayor is responsible for, what she has power over to control, and how government works. And I believe that there is a level of education that has to be done here because we have so much information at our fingertips, but yet we still don't know the basics about how local government works.
In the areas that you as the mayor were responsible for, what is the biggest regret that you have about something you either didn't get done or you realized, yeah, I maybe should or should not have approached that problem from this angle?
So I don't want my activist friends to be angry with me, but paid family leave is more difficult in practice than it is in theory. And we learned that lesson as we implemented paid family leave within the city. I still support it wholeheartedly. However, we didn't put the types of guardrails that should have been there to make sure that we have implemented it effectively so people didn't take advantage of it. We found that there were a couple hundred of employees taking advantage of paid family leave to stay out of their jobs when they could have been working. And then I would say that we didn't push hard enough to do things a little faster, not realizing that I would only have 4 years to get some things done.
You've talked about some of the best moments that you've had, and I'm wondering what were the moments that you would never want to live again as mayor of the city?
Oh, the moments I would never want to live again are the moments where I spent with families that lost loved ones to gun violence, and then my family losing 4 members of our family to gun violence during my 4 years as mayor. Those New Year's Eve vigils are quite touching and tear-jerking, and I would continue to do them, obviously, but they're just hard. Those are hard moments to look a family in the eye, and there's nothing you can do.
What do you think the results of both your race in 2025 and then the first congressional district race in 2024 say about the strength or the place of the progressive political movement in the St. Louis area?
I would say that there is a reckoning that needs to happen, especially when it comes to the leadership of Black women in the Democratic Party and in the progressive movement. They want our votes, but they don't want our leadership. We need to have a serious conversation and a hard conversation as to why.
Several people pointed out to me that with your loss, the three people that were at the Arch in 2020, you, Cori Bush, and Kim Gardner, are no longer in office for different reasons. All those people have been replaced by people who are not Black women.
Mm-hmm.
And Darlene Green lost as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a broader message here specifically to St. Louis?
I think St. Louis needs to have a conversation with itself of why it no longer trusts Black women to lead. And I can't answer that for them. But there is, I would say, an unhealthy and unrealistic level of expectations when it comes to Black female leadership, not only in St. Louis, but, when we look across the country. My dad always told me, and then, it's an old phrase that Black women have to work twice as hard just to get half as much. Well, I feel like we work five times as hard to get nothing in return. A friend of mine who also just lost his reelection, Mayor Chokwe Lumumba in Jackson, Mississippi, once told me that being a Black mayor in this country is a balancing act between white fear and Black expectation. And that's essentially what we saw in this race. Even though I brought crime down to historic levels that we hadn't seen in decades, what was the sentiment? We don't feel safe, whatever that means. But the data clearly said that crime was at its lowest level in decades. And that's what the people wanted back in 2021. And then they moved the goalposts to potholes and trash and snow removal.
With the white wards in particular that you lost support in, why do you think that you didn't do as well in those particular parts?
You know, even when I had conversations or my team had conversations with the white voters in South St. Louis, they could not give us a reason why they didn't like me or were voting for Mayor Spencer. And if you can't give me a reason or for something that I have particularly done, then the only default is race. And then let's go to North St. Louis, Black expectations. We had African Americans whose neighborhoods had not been touched in decades and have been neglected for decades. And I announced, and I still believe this, that we have to rebuild North St. Louis in order for all of St. Louis to succeed. But there's no patience there. The expectations there are so high to deliver and deliver immediately to address the decades of neglect in 4 years, which is impossible.
There probably are going to be people who still believe in what you believe and still want to carry out your vision in the future. Are there any people that you see in the horizon that can fill the void from you or Cori Bush, basically?
No.
No? Why
no,
not?
I just don't.
What is missing from the people whose names may pop up?
Consistency. When people flip-flop, they tell you they're going to vote one way and then they vote another way, or they tell you they're going to be with you and then they don't. I don't play like that. You know, if I tell you I'm going to do something, then I'm going to do it. If I tell you I'm going to vote a certain way, I'm going to do it. If I tell you I'm going to follow up, I'm going to follow up, because your word is your bond, is the only thing that's worth any value in this world.
You and Mayor Spencer were able to have some conversations during that very short week-long transition period. What were those conversations like?
We, meaning myself and my team, we told her that our team members were going to provide memos of what they were working on, in transition, and the cabinet would do the same. I gave her a tour of the office, and the whole meeting lasted maybe 20, 25 minutes.
Is there other additional advice as you watch the first couple of weeks of the administration that you want to offer up now?
No. No. This is the government that St. Louis voted for. This is her time to lead, and so I'm going to step out of the way and let her lead.
What is next for Tashara Jones?
I'm looking at a few different avenues, looking at consulting, looking at possibly writing a book.
maybe starting a podcast. I'm almost finished with my children's book that I was writing while I was in office, but obviously I couldn't finish it. So now I have time to go back to that project. It's a cute little book that's inspired by my mother. And then, you know, being a mom. You know, my son is 17 now. He's gonna be going off to college in a year, and making sure that transition is as smooth as possible for him.
That was former Mayor Tishara Jones speaking to STLPR's Rachel Littman and Jason Rosenbaum. A longer version will air on St. Louis on the Air today and tonight and wherever you get podcasts. That piece was edited by Fred Ehrlich.
This is Abby Larico, host of The Gateway. And if you listen every morning, you already know that. Thank you for listening, by the way. But no matter how big a fan you are of the podcast, there's one person who's heard every word I've recorded, sometimes multiple times, in surround sound no less, for the past 9 months. And now it's time for me to meet them. So I am officially out on maternity leave for the next few months, taking care of STLPR's newest little fan, probably getting even less sleep than usual, but hopefully able to soak it all in. You will be in good hands. Have a fantastic summer, and thank you so much for your continued support of St. Louis Public Radio.
While Abby is away on The Gateway, you'll be hearing from me, Aula Kuziz, and other members of the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, and we all wish Abby the best of luck. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.